Hello, all of you out there in Radioland. You're listening to KPTZ Port Townsend 91.9 FM. For our virtual listeners, we hope your device is locked onto our website, kptz.org. I'm Marianne McNellis. This show is called Our Town. The show highlights some of the diverse personalities that make Jefferson County, Washington, so very special. The COVID crisis has changed our lives dramatically. At KPTZ, many of us haven't even been inside our studio for over a year. With an abundance of caution, most of us cannot use our studio equipment to record our shows. Individual DJs creep into the studio and do their shows in solitary confinement. Right now, those of us who have real live guests on their shows are still not able to invite them to the studio to record, even if they've been vaccinated. Needless to say, we've been dancing around this situation for a long time now. We do have a technological workaround where we create and record the show without even visiting KPTZ's world headquarters in a sweet little trailer in the parking lot of Mountain View School. That means our audio quality is not what it once was, but the show must go on. Right now, things are really looking up. Rumor has it, sometime in the next couple of months, we'll be moving to our new studio at Fort Worden. We're ready, willing, and anxious for that. The purpose of Our Town is to share the stories of some of the fascinating people who make up this community. Over time, we'll be talking with firefighters and foodies, bus drivers and baristas, the lawyers and the ladies who lunch. We try to find out what makes them tick and what they think about living in beautiful Jefferson County amid the deer, the otter, and even the magnificent soaring eagles. As you know, Jefferson County has been spared some of the worst of the COVID crisis. The number of cases of COVID were few, and the number of people who died were even fewer. It was not without cost. With our schools shut down, parents and kids were forced to explore what is politely called distance learning. But in recent weeks, the schools are opening again. Port Townsend High School even had an in-person junior-senior prom. It was held outside, and there was a lot of social distancing. But still, the class of 2021 had a real graduation, unlike the class of 2020. The social isolation we endured for over a year will impact us for years to come. Many friendships and even some marriages faltered under the restrictions. Some people took to Zoom rather easily. They managed to have family dinners, book clubs, virtual outings, here, there, and everywhere. It wasn't quite the same, of course, but it was social contact. Others didn't do quite so well with isolation. If you look at it from the right perspective, a show like Our Town can help ease your isolation. Every segment features someone new from around the community, someone who has hopes, dreams, and a plan for moving forward. It might be a local from a long line of locals. It might be someone who moved here from far away, drawn by the beauty and the magnificent sea and mountains. The whole purpose of Our Town is to introduce you to community members with stories to tell. My guest today, Ian Plagman, owner and operator of Greener Groundskeeping, an interesting concept, basically a company that caters to all of your gardening needs by means of a bicycle. Ian has some amazing bikes and some amazing electric equipment that he carries strapped onto his bike. But let's start a little bit earlier. Let's find out where he comes from. So Ian, are you a local boy born and bred on the Olympic Peninsula?
I actually grew up in Snohomish County, so I am not local, but I feel like I blend into this local environment pretty well. It's an eclectic community, and as you discussed, hauling around my stuff via bike is kind of an eclectic thing. So, yeah.
This is true. Well, I'm always interested in people's high school years because it's a very formative time. What did your classmates think of you? Kids pigeonhole each other. What did they pigeonhole you as?
Yeah, so my main passions in high school, they were all music-based. I was in band, jazz band, choir, and jazz choir. And I did the orchestra pit, too. And I was a drum major, so I led the band. And in addition to that, I also had a little cycling club. We had started a cycling club, actually pretty funnily called the Lawn Mowers. So we'd have to get to jazz band in the morning. And the buses weren't running, so we'd all meet at the Safeway parking lot at the time. And we brought wheatgrass there, and then we'd eat it and chew it on our way to school for health benefits, which was a funny thing. We had a band director who was a firm believer in it, and we thought we'd try it for, you know, health. Anyway, so we'd chew the grass and then ride our bikes to school, and we were called the lawnmowers. So
how many kids were in this little group?
About a dozen riders, mainly jazz band and jazz choir kids, but there were also people from sports who needed to get to school early for that too. So,
and so what'd you do right after high school?
So right after high school, the plan was to become a euphonium performance major. And what euphonium is, it's like a 3/4 size tuba that plays in the same range as a trombone. It's a very lovely instrument, very mellow sound. That's what the original plan was. And then my dad, he had a really cool business at the time. But he took on a few partners, and things just got overexpanded. I didn't have any money for school after that. I needed to find a way to help provide for my family, too. So after that, I went back home. I moved back home. And then I went to the local library. I went looking around, and I stumbled upon a book that was most lucrative careers you could have with little qualifications. And there were a lot of options in there. One of them was sales, and so I went through all the things that you could possibly sell. I happen to also really like vehicles. I've always been fascinated with transportation. Just really like things that go. So I debated, what should I do? So I sent out my resume, which didn't have a lot on it, to 40 different car dealerships within Snohomish County. I got emails back from like 10, and I went to 5 different interviews. I ended up at a dealership called Saturn of Linwood. And I chose Saturn's because it was a no haggle philosophy when it came to pricing. So nice. The price on the car was that. And that was such a pleasant way to do business. And I wish most dealerships had that model because it just made sense for everybody. You don't negotiate on your shampoo, you know? So, and then I joined a band, so I did not have to give up on my musical dream. So that was a different type of musical performance. And I played in that funk band for 7 years. And that was a lot of fun. Once the economic collapse happened around 2006, Saturn, the brand, went under. The marks that weren't affected by that were luxury makers. So then I used my experience and went on to work for Lexus and then Mercedes.
That's really interesting to me. I didn't realize that in a recession, the luxury brands kept going, but not the, you know, sort of meat and potatoes kind of car.
It might have been kind of a microcosm of the I-5 corridor itself. And then I worked there at Lexus and then at Mercedes, and those were both pleasant too. But the hours were really, really, really brutal. My wife, then girlfriend at the time, she was also working a high-end retail job, and the hours for her were really, really brutal too. Then at one point, we just looked at each other and we were like, you know, if we stay on this path, we're going to kind of be stuck on this path. It's going to be harder to unplug from this. So we sold my house. I had a cute little Victorian home. And then we moved to Ellensburg so my wife could finish up all of her degrees. I wanted to take some time off because I had been working, for 7 years, 60-hour weeks. So I was ready to just get back into my passion of cycling, too. I had given up cycling for the last 2 years I was in that business, and I had gained 70 pounds. That stuff catches up with you eventually. And I was kind of just running on, you know, the full steam of your young 20s at that time. So I started selling cars when I was 20. And so all of this happened, you know, 20 to 27. Slowly, like 20 to 24, you have infinite energy. But then eventually it started to change on me. But also not riding the bike didn't help either. So anyway, we shifted gears and then we moved to Ellensburg. That was really, really good for me because there was a trail there. It's now called the Palouse Cascades. But at the time, it was called the John Wayne Pioneer Trail. It was gravel. It was flat. It was a great way to get back into my cycling shape. I'd done a bunch of long tours before that and some other big events, but I wasn't in any cycling shape when I moved to Ellensburg. But,
well, did you get a job when you were there?
Oh, yeah, I did. I worked for the Kittitas County Noxious Weed Board. Okay. But for the first 6 months, I just worked on my health. It all worked out together because me riding my bike on the trail rekindled my love with nature. And then I found the Kittitas County Noxious Weed Board job, which was all outside. And you got to explore so much of Kittitas County, and it's a really beautiful county in Washington. You have the Cascades, then you have the Columbia River, and, you know, there's a kind of a mini desert in between there. Then a Yakima River Canyon, which is like our mini Grand Canyon. It's a super cool drive. It's such a beautiful place, and there's so much great nature out there. And working for the Kittitas County Noxious Weed Board, I got to experience that 10 hours a day, 4 days a week, which is a great schedule. My job there was primarily, I drive around the county looking for noxious weeds. Because
okay, well, yeah. That sounds like a very unusual job, really. You're listening to KPTZ, Fort Townsend, 91.9 FM. The show's called Our Town. I'm your host, Mary Ann McNellis. Our Town profiles some of the fascinating people who live and work on the Olympic Peninsula. My guest today, Ian Flagman, who owns Greener Groundskeeping. Ian was just telling us about his earlier years. Before he got into gardening and landscaping, he got closer to gardens when he worked closely with weeds. So there you were, killing weeds, right?
Yeah, well, it wasn't so much me killing them as informing landowners of their weed problems and educating them on various eradication methods. Occasionally, there would be some stuff that we would have to take care of, but it was more of kind of a collaborative effort.
Well, so what kind of weeds were really out there? What were you looking for?
Many, but I would say the big ones that wreak havoc in that area are thistles. So, like, there's Canada thistle, and, well, there's various thistles. Yeah, those ones wreak havoc because they spread through their roots and they send off seeds. They show up everywhere. Anywhere where there's disturbed earth, you can get a thistle. And then lots of knapweeds and stuff too, and hemlock too. So I was just trying to think of noxious weeds we have in our environment that would really pop out at you that everyone would recognize. So we have a lot of scotch broom here. If you go through Kittitas County, try and find some. There is so few out there, and they've done a really good job of making sure it hasn't taken a big foothold.
So how did you transition from Ellensburg to Port Townsend?
Okay, so my wife, her parents, they bought a cabin here 20 years ago up on McPherson, and they've stayed around in the area. And then her dad worked for the ferries, and he recently retired, so she would come here up on the weekends. She grew up in Everett, too. When she was younger, all the way when she was 10, she'd be here on the weekends. And so we have family here, her family, and we're getting at the age where we want to settle down and have our own family. And so we're here to be in proximity to family. And we also feel like this is a really cool place to raise a family, too. We always talk about how cool it would be when we do have a kid, when they turn like 10 or whatever, to give them $20 and walk down Water Street, go have some ice cream, go have some fun. We feel like this is a community where you can do that.
Well, and one of the questions that always comes up when people move to Port Townsend is jobs are not exactly plentiful. So when you moved here, you didn't have a job, right? What was your strategy?
Well, so when I first moved here, what I told my friends was, I love this town. It is the only town that is weirder than me. And I say that because, well, anyway, so, and it is, it is a quirky, fun, eclectic town. And the job market is really weird. So I, at first when I came here, I was thinking I could use my sales experience and perhaps sell boats because there are so many beautiful boats and I'd love to work down at the marina, right? Then I also thought, do I really want to do sales again? So when I first landed here, I did work for UPS. I drove seasonally. That was good just to get the experience and layout of the town, to get into the community a good way that way. And then after that, I worked for the parks. And that was cool. I did a lot of their trail maintenance and stuff. So that exposed me to some cool power tools. And it reminded me of my days in high school when I did a little landscaping too.
And you were working for the Parks Department, but COVID hit, right?
Yeah. So I worked for the Parks Department the previous season. And then once COVID happened, I doubted that job would come back up. So I figured, you know what? You've kind of wanted to start your own gardening landscaping thing for a while. And me and my friends in high school, we actually had this idea of a zero emission landscaping company. And we thought about it a lot. And the biggest limiting factor was everything back then was, you know, lead acid batteries or nickel, and those are just supremely heavy. So you couldn't put together a system that would be practical that wouldn't just wear you out all of the time because you're moving these big batteries, or you're using tools with a cord, which landscaping with tools with a cord, especially a thing like a mower, that's really hard to do and it's really inconvenient. Yeah. You don't want to rerun over that cord. But anyway, within the last 5 years, lithium ion has really changed all of our electronics, flashlights we buy, our remotes, our phones, all of that stuff. And that's also revolutionized lawn care equipment. 10 years from now, I sincerely doubt you'll see much gas-powered equipment out there running in the field. There's just a lot of disadvantages to it. And electric tools are just getting better and better. So I put together a nice electric toolkit. It had to hit a bunch of notes since I was moving everything by bike. It had to be large enough to do work quickly and efficiently, but it also had to be light enough to where I could move it. And there are products out there that fit those niches. And yeah, I'm totally happy with my electric equipment now, but it's light enough to where I can stick it all onto my bike.
Here's something I'd really like you to share with our listeners. All right, you're riding a bike. You're taking with you all the equipment that you need for lawn and garden maintenance. Get reel off the names of some of the types of items you actually get onto a bike all at once.
It's a lot. I never leave the house. I always have at least a dozen tools on me. So I have my hand pruners, then I have slightly larger composite pruners. And I say composite because since they're composite, they're lighter. All of my tools have weight calculated into them too. And then I have various weeding tools and stuff. But the three big items that make up so much of property maintenance and why I really like doing it in this fashion too is because I take three motors out of the equation. So you need to bring a lawnmower, you need to bring a leaf blower, and you need to bring a line trimmer. And those three tools, for most properties that you see out there, that's the meat and potatoes of the maintenance. And those are supremely awkward tools to carry all around at once. So to imagine my bike, the wheels are as far apart. It's the same wheelbase as a midsize sedan. So the bike itself, it's about 10 feet. So 10 feet long. Originally, the bike was a three-person tandem bike. And that's how it started its life 13 years ago. And I really love cycling, and I wanted to share cycling with more of my friends. And the regular tandem bike I have, it's hard to get three people on one bike. So I held on to that bike for 13 years before I made it into what it is now. So anyway.
So the wheelbase on the bike is as big as a midsize sedan. It really was meant to be a bike for three people. But now correct. It carries all this stuff.
Correct. So the last two seats, I have taken those out. And instead, I put in these posts. Imagine if you had two T's back there. And then on top of the T's, to carry my long-handled tools, I have repurposed, used ATV gun racks, which I'm not a gun person at all. And I think this was the most clever way to repurpose them. But now they carry a rake, a line trimmer, a hula hoe. I mean, what have you? I carry them on top. And what's great about that system is they're carried laterally. So they're not straight up in the air, which you could not do on a bike because of wind resistance and make your center of gravity just all kinds of weird. So to get the balance right, I have a backpack blower on the right-hand side, and that's counterbalanced by the lawnmower sitting sideways, folded up on the left-hand side. And then behind the backpack blower, there's a toolbox. So the cool part to get with all machines that are on the road, the big handling metric that you want to shoot for is 50-50 weight distribution and a low center of gravity. You hear that a lot in race cars and whatnot, but it does improve your handling if you have 50-50 weight distribution and a low center of gravity. So I can get 50-50 weight distribution by moving my batteries around. So I use my batteries like ballast. And so depending on the load, I situate them either in the mower or in the other basket. So everything's nice and balanced. Since this is all on one bike and I don't have to use a trailer, I'm able to use the 35 miles of trails around Port Townsend. Well, most of them, some of them, they're a little bit too narrow. And that's really important to me because I like that gardening this way generates such little noise. And by using the trails, I'm not gumming up traffic or the roads that much either. Plus, it's a very peaceful thing. I leave the house at 8 and I'm outside the rest of the day, and my office is Port Townsend and my bike's not that fast. So in between jobs, people are always like, oh man, that must be a lot of work. But gardening's the hard part. Riding the bike's the fun part. And so when I ride the bike, especially post-job, I am so elated and I'm just cruising about. And there's always something to look at in Port Townsend too.
This rather monster bike that you have balancing all these lawnmowers and rakes and all of this stuff. Have you guessed how much it weighs?
So unladen, the bike weighs, it was 58 pounds. Other things I didn't describe about this bike, the only thing that's original on it, it's the frame, but I had a big metal grate welded on the side by the muffler shop in town. I found some really beautiful old school chrome handlebars from PT Recyclery. And every bike shop in town has actually laid their hands on this bike in some form or another. I've had some repairs done mid-workday on the bike by the Broken Spoke. So they've helped kept me on the road. And Bob Chung with the PT Cyclery, he's helped me out a lot too. And he sponsored me in a race recently with that bike, which was kind of fun, but.
Okay, so we will digress just briefly because we are running short on time here, but you also race bikes. In addition to working from a bike, you race bikes, right?
Correct. And the style of racing that I like to do, they're called bike packing events. There's one going on right now called X Washington Bike Ride. That was the last one I did back in 2018. That's a really fun ride. It starts in La Push and ends in Idaho. There are other bike packing races that are coming up, and I'm hoping to do those again, especially now that we're returning to normalcy.
Well, yes, but you're sort of busy right now with the clients. I would imagine it's the height of the gardening season.
Yes, I am happily busy with all of my clients right now. And actually, it is one of the best times to be a gardener because even though you're working all the time, every time I go to a client's house, there's always something new to look at. There's always something new that's blooming. It reminds me a lot of the beach out here. And, you know, every time the tide goes in and out, it's a brand new beach, new stuff to find. And so right now, as I'm going to client's house, it feels a lot like that. Like, I see your roses are blooming now. How cool.
Well, you obviously enjoy what you're doing. And do you think you really are close to your goal of zero emissions gardening company?
Oh, I think in the future, we're going to see a lot more active transportation type gardener people. You can do so much without a truck, and bikes are getting better and more powerful, and tools are getting lighter and better. I would love it if I was not the only active transport gardening company out there.
You also do have a backup because, for example, you can't really ride your bike to the dump. So
correct.
You have a truck that on occasion you do use.
I do have a truck and I use that if there's, I had a client who had a big mountain of sod they had needed to have removed. So I use that in my truck. And currently in Jefferson County, there is no safe way to navigate a bicycle to the dump. The road to the dump out here is not a road I'd take a bike on.
Right.
And I mean, there's that big corner there. It wouldn't be good for me or the people driving. The truck is a hyper-local truck. It's only been in Port Townsend its whole life, and it was owned by the shop teacher here. So it's a nice local truck.
Okay, and you do have more than one bike. I mean, you've been describing your workhorse of a bike, but you actually have a few others stashed around.
Correct. I actually have 9 bicycles in my stable. I've got small ones with big tires for the beach and the snow, and then I've got a couple road bikes, too. But mainly my mountain bikes get the most attention because I love the trails out here and I love being off-road as opposed to being on the road.
And you obviously love Port Townsend.
Yes, I do. I do. I do. I do. I do so much. And it is such a beautiful town to garden in this way. And there's inspiration everywhere in this town when it comes to outside and nature in beauty and our relationship with the environment too. You see it so many places around this town.
We're running out of time. I hate to tell you, but we are. Thank you so much for being on the show, Ian. You've been listening to Our Town on KPTZ, Port Townsend, 91.9 FM. I'm your host, Marianne McMillis. My guest today, Ian Plagman, founder of Greener Groundskeeping. Listeners, you should watch the roads. Watch for an amazing bike that is about triple the length of a normal bike with a whole bunch of equipment hanging on it and Ian pedaling along in his hat. And it's an amazing business concept of gardening with zero emissions. You know, I personally hate those leaf blowers that make all that noise. So I'm happy to hear there's progress. In addition to thanking Ian for being a guest on the show, I also want to thank Karen Anderson, who's stepping in as editor and producer of Our Town. Karen will use her technological skills to manage and distill what we're saying so that we sound a little less bumpy and jerky than we are. You will think we're very eloquent people. I also want to thank you, the listener, for sticking with us during the era of COVID. We're all trying to make it through this crisis together. KPTZ Port Townsend is a community radio station. Everyone who works here is a volunteer. We give our time because we all believe Jefferson County needs a free local voice. We need you, dear listener. We need more volunteers. We also need more donations to stay afloat. Like all businesses, we have rent to pay, electricity to pay, and many other expenses. Just like you, all of us at KPTZ would really like to return to normal. So listener, stay safe, stay healthy. I'm signing off for today, but please keep listening to KPTZ Port Townsend for more dynamic and informative community radio.